We are at the parenthesis.
Okay.
On the bottom of chapter 4, the first one in the line is Mahus on page 300 or 299. On in the English, it's the word the Tzimtzum at the bottom of the right left-hand column. Mm-hmm. And we I left off here specifically. I could have run to the end last time, but I did not specifically, because if you notice, you would think that where should this parenthesis end? You would think it would end at the end of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you think you would put the end of the parenthesis, right? Because then you have another chapter there, or somewhere before then. Okay, but if you notice, there's no end, there's no closed parenthesis. Then, if you turn and you look at the next page,
there's another open.
The end of chapter 5, there's a closed parenthesis there. But if you look at one line above that, there's an open parenthesis. So we have a case of a missing parenthesis. So tradition has it that not that the parenthesis goes on the end of chapter 4, but the parenthesis goes at the end of chapter 5, and there should be two parentheses there.
Mm-hmm.
But they say the person, the Bacher, the Zetzer, that's the guy, the editor, the copy editor, saw the end of chapter 5 that there's two parentheses. He noticed that there's an open parenthesis on the line before, said somebody made a mistake, put two parentheses there, and took the last parenthesis off. So really, there should be two parentheses at the end of chapter 5. Okay, so that's the structure of it. And there is actually, there's a place in Tanya, in Shar Yechud V'Amun, I believe it is, not Shar Yechud, in Egeres HaKodesh, where there actually is two parentheses, one with the after the other, and the top of my head, I don't remember where it is. So, but it's all because it looks, because somebody saw that there's two parentheses there and one open one, not remembering that there had been an open parenthesis in the end of chapter 4. So, the we're talking about the power of Tzimtzum in the name of name Elohim,
mm-hmm.
and what that does, and says so he said that the what we talked about last time specifically is that the name Elohim covers over the name Havaya, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, so that the name Elohim, excuse me, so the name Hashem, excuse me, Yud Kei Vav Kei, can actually function. Because without the dampening, without the holding back, there's too much revelation. Too much revelation means nothing functions.
Right.
So
there's no
gvul. Correct. So what that means then is that even though we associate the name Yud Kei Vav Kei with Chesed, giving, Hispashtus, and the name Elohim, which is judges, with holding back and Tzimtzum and Gvura, but the whole purpose of the Gvura is that there should be Chesed. The whole reason why there's a holding back is so that there can be revelation.
Yes, yes.
Without the holding back, you have no revelation. There's no kindness there.
The holding back is what you call a symptom?
Symptom, yes.
Not a contraction?
Here I'm just using it holding back. Okay, that's the paradigm that he uses with the atmosphere, the containment of the godliness. Okay? So, the... So that's where we left off now. So he says, "Hine b'chinas hatzimtzum v'hester hachayis nikra b'shem kelim." We have a problem with the word, the relationship we have of this, the relationship between Hashem and Elohim. You could call it also Oris and Kelim. And we've talked before that when we say Oris and Kelim, if you translate it as lights and vessels,
oops.
It doesn't mean anything, and you're going to imagine pots of water, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The word keli, I think we've talked about this in the end of...
chapter 50.
Yeah, 50.
2 or 53. Yeah, yeah.
It's good to rehearse. Keep going.
Is as taken from Masechta Keli. It's always good to prove a point in Chassidus from something in Nigla, especially a Mishnah.
Yes.
You know, Mishnah, like, hoo-ha. You have a whole mesecta of Mishnayos called Kalim. Mm-hmm. And there it talks about a lot of things which are Mekabel Tumah because they are Kalim,
yes,
which are not pots and pans. They have no base kibble. They don't hold anything.
We are doing the Shabbos, Mesechta Shabbos.
Yes.
In Daf Yomi right now.
Okay.
And about 20 blot before this. We're in the 50s. I'm mm-hmm. actually one blot ahead, so we're 55.
Yeah.
And then about 32 to 36. It's all about the Kalim. And which Kalim or Makabel or Roy
right. Tumah. Okay. So. And you have, as it says, that, you know, it talks about you're probably up to the thing of, you know, the Mab Behema Yatsis, right? What is it? What kind of, and it says there, what kind of Kali can the animal go out with? And it talks about things like reins, leashes, blankets, saddles. Okay, a saddle, maybe you could say, but. Okay, reins, if you know, you think of Kali, Kali's not a pot, but we're calling it, they're calling the rain a Kali.
Right. You can go okay. out with the reins?
That's what it's talking about. Can it go out? Can it not go out? I'm not going into what it says over there. But here's the point is that it refers to them, which Kalim can it go out?
Right.
And the famous line from the Alter Rebbe is, Kol Bali Hashir Yaitzi Bishirai, that any Hashir is like a leash. And it says that any animal that normally wears a leash can wear a leash on Shabbos. And the Alter Rebbe translated it, Kol Bali Ashir, Yaitzi Bashir, that anybody who's got a song, that they should go out with their song, meaning that a niggin has a tremendous power to get a person out of themselves and to, like, into their Avedis Hashem. But that's just a side point, since we brought up a Sefer Shabbos, and animals, so it's nothing to do with what we're talking about over here. So, but the point that he wants to say over here is that this is why it's called Shar Yichud V'amunah. And why we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's not that there is even two functions of a variation of a single theme, two functions acting it. No, it's one thing. The containment is for the purpose of revelation. Okay? So when he says over here the word Kali, you're not going to translate Tzimtzum or Kalim like the Kalim of Itzilus, as a receptacle. We're going to translate it the standard working use of definition of the word Kali is anything that has a use. Okay, so Shem Elokim and its relationship to Shem Yudke Vavke has a use.
Has a use, it's in Kali, right.
Okay, it says, and it says in the Gemara, for example, you have a huge stack of logs. No one's going to praise the axe that chopped the wood. Man, what an axe! That was a great axe that was used for chopping this wood, because the axe loses its identity with the wood chopper. Okay, the axe is the keli by which the wood chopper chops the wood, and he couldn't chop it without the wood, but the axe isn't going to chop any wood without the wood chopper either.
Right.
Axes don't kill people. People do.
Right.
Guns.
Right, exactly. So, so the axe actually becomes the extension of the wood chopper.
Right.
Okay. So Elokim becomes an extension of Yudkei Vavkei. That's what he says. That this Tzimtzum and this Hester Achayas Nikkur B'Shem Kalim, the Achayas Asma Nikkur B'Shem Ur, and the Achayas which is being utilized by the Kali is called Ur. Okay, so don't think of lasers going through prisms, or don't think of you know, he says we have all kinds of examples that we give. The sunlight through the curtain. Those are all pretty bad examples as far as what's really happening over here. Mm. But the or means chayas, vitality. And that vitality needs to be contained. And what can contain Hashem? Only Hashem can contain Hashem. And that's why the word keli is used. And he says, "Shekamaisha hakeli mekasa almasha b'teichai," just like it is that a vessel, and I will translate that word here because that's what he means, covers over that which is inside of it. Like you got a box. So what's inside the box is covered over by the box. Kach b'chin is at Simpson mekasa umaster orva achayas hashoifa. So too it is, and this is where the example breaks down after this. This is like the point of relevancy to the example of calling it a keli. So too also the Tzimtzum process covers over the vitality which is flowing through it.
Right.
And this is, think about this whole deal of how this whole, when we're talking about the relationship of Or and keli, it's called Seder Histalshalus. It's a chain reaction. So effect number one, which is going to be Kaylee to the first or, becomes the or of the step two. Meaning that the effect becomes the cause of the next level. That's what a chain reaction is. The domino theory.
Does that correspond to the idea that the lowest part of Bina is the, not Bina, but the lowest part of one world, or the next higher world is the
correct
highest part of the lower world.
The malchus of the higher world becomes the keser of the lower world. Yes.
Except the seer.
All over.
What's above a seer?
What's
above a seer?
Yetzira?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same deal. The top of the bottom of the lower world becomes the top of the bottom world.
What's the top of the top world?
That's Chochmah of Atzilus, and on top of that is Keser. It's a general Keser, and it's all the way up. The same deal. Okay, and so Keser is the top of the top world. Okay, but then you have, those are just worlds that are to be defined by worlds. You have infinite levels above Atzilus as well.
But they don't have a gvul, as we understand.
They don't have the parameters of a world,
as we understand.
But they're different levels.
Are they?
You have Hasharais. You use the word Simpson. Simpson Magadol was which revealed Hashem's. We talked about this last week, which revealed Hashem's koyach hagvul, Hashem's ability to limit himself, was the result of the first Simpson. And the Arizal uses that word Simpson Harishon, the first Simpson. And the whole purpose of the Tzimtzum is in order that the limitedness is the byproduct of the Tzimtzum. Yeah? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. The whole purpose of the Tzimtzum is that when you get to the other end, you got a limitation. You got less than you started with before. Less what? Less of the chayas. Okay. We've given examples before about the electric grid, you know, the different systems of transformers.
The electric grid better than us, but the Tzimtzum of Elohim from Yud Kei Vav Kei would affect Din.
The Yud Kei Tzimtzum
is
Din.
Okay, so
what's it Danin? What's it judging? What's it limiting? It's limiting the Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Right.
So that at the end result you have a usable Yud Kei Vav Kei, because what comes out at the other end, it's still Yud Kei Vav Kei.
That's at its higher level.
It's a lower level. The lower level, it's still Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's still Elokus.
Right.
But it's still the creative aspect of Elokus, which is now going to...
Elokim is the creative aspect? I thought it would be... Not the creative, Lav Dafka.
Well, you have a Yud Kei Vav Kei. You start out with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Let's say pristine Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Just the ultimate creator.
That's the highest behind everything.
Right.
Okay. Then comes along. You have your algorithm over there. Your Elohim.
Yeah.
Okay. And you stick your Havaya into your Elohim, and what comes out? Your next level of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is on a lower level, because Yud Kei Vav Kei at that point we're going to translate as the highest. Okay, and what do you got to do with that? You stick another lower level of Elohim.
Right. Which is the first Tzimtzum.
Now you got the second Tzimtzum.
Wow, the first Tzimtzum is...
The first Tzimtzum...
The
first Tzimtzum is going to produce the second Or. The second Or is then going to be Tzimtzum through the second Tzimtzum.
Which is
going to create the third Or. okay, until ad infinitum, yeah. So that the result of every tzimtzum is a lower level of or, which means a lower level of chayas. So that at every level of tzimtzum, you have some kind of something going on. Something that relates to that level. Like the malachim in Yetzirah, and the neshamas in Bria, and etc. The spheres in Atzilus. Stuff in this world. It's all, we're the back end of the tzimtzum. Okay? Vakelin hein heina oisiois, shashorshin hei oisius mansapach. What are the kelim? Since he's using this paradigm in Shor Yechud Vamun, specifically dealing with the concept of Hashem creating through words, rather than specifically through its spheros, which is another whole paradigm, but basically it parallels it, it's the same thing, just different jargon. So the kelim are the letters that comprise the words. They are the channels by which the godliness is directed.
Is each ice a keli, or is a word a keli?
Each ice is a keli,
right?
And then in combination,
they make everything
forms a keli or a tzimtzum, which right. produces a usable entity.
Right.
That's the name of the thing. Yes.
Right.
Okay. And he says the shorish is going to be the shorish, the source of all the letters, mm-hmm. where the letters getting their ability to contract themselves to contract. Is from what he calls here the five letters mansipach. Those are the final letters. Shehein hegavuras, which represent the five severities. I'll explain that in a second. Hamalachas amafaretas hahevel vahakil. That when you speaking, essentially what you are doing is you are exhaling. That's the first thing. Your speech. The composition of your speech, meaning what is it made out of, your physical speech, is made out of air. You exhale. And if you exhale and you don't do anything else, you get the letter H or a hey. What happens is as you exhale, so it goes through, you wiggle your vocal cords. And that turns the H into a something to that effect. An ah. So that it gives it a tone. Then what happens is the way that you move your mouth, whether you wiggle your epiglottis or you're clenching your teeth together or smack your lips together, flip your tongue off the back of your teeth, okay, these different things is going to break up that ah into something else. Those are known as the five articulates of speech. Each one represents a different type of tzimtzum. If you're talking about the word paradigm. Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's now the hey gevurois. What's hey gevurois? Hey gevurois is we know that each sphere contains 10 spheres. Okay, we do that when we count spheres right. between Pesach and Shavuos.
Right.
Yeah, Chesed Shebechesed until you get to Malchus of Malchus. In the middle column of the spheres, you know you have 10 spheres and they're aligned, they call them like the tree over there. So you have three on the right, which would be Chochmah Chesed Netzach. You have three on the left, which is Bina Hod, Gvura Hod. And then you have in the middle, you have Keser Das Teferes Netzach, the Teferes Yisod and Malchus. So the middle has five spheres, yeah? Keser, under Keser, you got Keser, if you do it this way, Keser, Chochma, Bina, then comes Das. And then Chesed Gvura, then comes Teferes. And then Netzach Yisod, and then under Yisod is Malchus. So there's five spheres in the middle column.
Yes, yes, yes.
Each one of those five spheres has 10 spheres.
Right.
So what are the five gevurois? Gvura of Keser, Gvura of Das, Gvura of Teferes, Gvura of Netz, of Yesod, and Gvura of Malchus. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the, that's if you wanted to put it in your GPS, your Kabbalah GPS locator. So the five gevurois are located in those middle columns.
I have a Zaya
Achadash. Yes.
I have the set.
Mm-hmm.
And then each volume, you open up the...
the front cover? And it's got the spheres.
And it's got the spheres mm-hmm. listed right there very nicely.
Yeah. So the Hegevurois are the five limitations, which basically are responsible for the entire Seder Histalshelis working properly.
Fortunate for us.
Yes, and he gives them more geography. Shehen Hegevurois Malchus Mefurot Zahavel Akel Mehei Meitzais Hapeh, from the five articulates of speech, which are the lips, teeth, tongue, palate, and throat. So that we get from these five different parts of your mouth, you can articulate 22 different sounds. And the five severities which are in that straight line are their root. Where did they come from? Is something which he refers to as the black light.
Yes.
Okay, remember black light posters? Yes. We had it first.
Yes.
Shehu gvuri ilah da atik yoimin, which that is gvura of atik. Atik is pnimius of Kesser. The impetus behind everything. Ultimately, why is it that people do anything? What's the impetus for anybody to do anything?
Will.
What's the reason behind the will? Why do you want something?
Desire.
Why do you desire it?
Because we're made that way.
No. There's something that is the impetus for desire. Why would you desire it? Why did you desire a cup of tea? What was your goal in drinking it?
Strengthen me for the learning.
Nah.
Not a chance. I wish.
Would have been Orson F.
No.
You've been trying to get the right answer, at least, anyway. Because of the pleasure it's going to bring you. Okay. Pleasure is the impetus behind desire.
So
pleasure in your Kabbalah in your Kabbalah GPS coordinates over there, in your Google Kabbalah map over there.
Pleasure.
So pleasure is called atik. Which the word atik, the word attic comes from the word atik. Where's the attic? The attic's like it's up and away. It's out of the picture. It's far removed, which is what the word atik means. Atik means removed.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gevurah is the pnimius of it also. That also has 10 spheros. So the source of why is it that you want to say anything is because of the pleasure that you're going to ultimately have.
That you hope to have.
By saying it.
Right.
Because otherwise, why would you ever open up your mouth? There's something that you want, and that's why you're talking. And what is it? Why is it that you want to talk? Is because you want to get something out of the deal.
Kant would say it's ultimately approval.
Yeah, but you can do it for yourself too.
But he would also say, and my Zayda, would also say that it's not the approval of man that you're really seeking, but it's the approval of the Eibishter.
Okay. So, and if you got God on your side, that's definitely quite pleasurable. It beats the alternative. And the source of kindness is also the same place. It's in pleasure. Kindness of pleasure, but he's not really talking about the five chesedim, which are those also which are going to be chesed of keser, chesed of das, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Also is rooted in pleasure. So now, in chapter 5, he continues on this. So v'hine alza amarizal. About this, our sages say, why is it that there are those people, when they went through, they were going through the Tanya again, wanted to put the close parenthesis there, is because, this is a new chapter, and we are talking about something else. But for those who are not putting the parenthesis there, they're putting the close parenthesis at the end of chapter 5, so it is quite unusual to have a chapter and a half in a parenthesis. You could have a whole chapter in a parenthesis, that's fine.
Yeah.
Make the whole chapter parenthetical.
Yes.
Then it's not a true chapter.
Yeah, so here we've got a chapter and a quarter.
Yes.
So, like, hello, so why is it a new chapter then? If it's the same, because it's not an exact continuation of the same idea, But it's just looking at the theme enough, differently enough, the same theme, differently enough, that the Alter Rebbe wanted to highlight it and put it into a separate chapter.
And we're sure it's the Alter Rebbe, not a printer?
No, the Parakim were from were from the Alter Rebbe.
The closed parenthesis.
I can, 1 second. So, v'hinei amar rizal, b'tchila olam ha'mashava livroya sa'olam, b'midas ha'din, ro'a she'en ha'olam miskayim, shata b'midas ha'rachamim. So, this is a statement in the Gemara that at first Hashem decided that he's going to create the world with strict judgment. He saw then that the world couldn't stand, so he partnered into that some Rachmanis. So before we actually get into what the Alter Rebbe is going to talk about, because he doesn't really actually explain the statement, the first obvious question here is, what is the Hashem into trial and error?
I was going to say, God changed his mind, yeah.
Trial and error. Oop, that didn't work.
What
a mess that was.
Add a little more soup to the clay.
Right, yeah, we'll put a little more salt in, a little more flour, get up a little too much water,
left out the eggs.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, no, it's not at all what it means. Mm. Okay, because as far as Hashem is concerned, the creation didn't take any time, nor is the creation sequential.
Or guesswork.
It's all happening simultaneously. Because we can say at any given moment, the 6 days of creation are happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
All six of them.
Yes.
Okay, so there's no sequence in the creation, per se, or really in Seder Yisraelis, then, as far as that type of a thing is concerned. So, the Hashem understood that if we're going to have a world, what did Hashem want? The goal is Hashem wanted a realm that doesn't recognize, that recognizes itself as an existence, separate from Hashem. So for that, you need to have gevur, you need to have severity, you need to have limitations. Because if you don't have any limitations, then things are not going to exist as a separate entity. Now, seeing that was his desire, and understanding, for quote-unquote Hashem understanding, that the world is going to need to exist, you still have to instill chayas into the tzimtzum. If you have tzimtzum, and the final result of this tzimtzum is you've canceled out the life altogether, so then what's the whole purpose of the tzimtzum? You just put yourself out of business.
Right.
So the whole purpose of the tzimtzum, so he wants to say over here, that the whole purpose of the tzimtzum is for the kindness that's going to be the result of it. That's what it means. He partnered with it, the attribute of Rachmanis. Yeah? Make sense? Yaakov?
Sorry.
Yeah? Okay. Dahainu, he's galus alakus al yedei tzedikim. Now, where is it that we see this compassion that Hashem is conveying? You look at the miracles that were the revelation of godliness through the tzedikim and the oisim and oisim shebetera. Why is it Hashem split the sea? It wasn't so that the Jews could get on the other side. It's one of my favorite jokes. Why did the Jews cross the sea? And the answer is not to get to the other side, because they came up on the same side. But the whole reason why there was a splitting of the sea was to show Hashem's greatness. And why are there no seas being split now? And the answer is, the obvious answer is, well, you don't need to have the sea split now, because we had it split once. But there's other things that are going on. There's miracles happening all the time. We just have to look and see that Itake is a miracle. We talked about this before also. Okay, what we call natural occurrences, and we can, just because you're going to explain something naturally doesn't mean that it's not miraculous. Miraculous is translated as
miraculous, yeah, they took the piss of the one.
That when something unusual occurs, okay, like the Pistons winning, yeah, okay, specifically at this moment that you get this little automatic text thing, you know, so that, so it's the things happen.
A miracle that they sent 1,400 missiles to Israel.
It was 1,500, yeah.
1,500. And six people,
Rahman got killed. Yeah, these are miracles. Oh, yeah.
It's an open miracle.
Yeah.
The Amish is waiting for the Israeli public to proclaim it.
Yeah. So, anyway. So in the Zohar it says, when talking about the relationship between severity, kindness, rachmanlus, etc., you have a right and you have a left. And that means chesed and gevura. You know, you can't ask the question, let's see, so if the right side is chesed and the left side is gevura, what happens if God turns around? Okay, you can't ask that question. What happens if you're looking from God from behind the other side? You know, so is the left the right the left?
No, okay,
ridiculous. Yeah, ridiculous.
Right and left with Hashem, it's a concept so we can understand.
Correct.
Correct.
It's like any other corporeal anthropomorphism. God doesn't have a right or a left.
Right, gender or
but it's another that we should understand it.
A Jew always goes to the right.
Yeah, pirish de shtei hein hein midas elokus lemaila mesechel hanivroyim v'asagos, and that means both of these godly attributes are beyond human intellect. The iuvagar mehuchad ba'olam atzilus, that Hashem and His effects are one, meaning that even when all is said and done, and after you've gone through all of this contraction and diminuating and manifesting, when you're in the world of Atzilus, there's nothing there except God. And that's that's spelled out in the name Atzilus. The word Atzilus has several translations. One of them is Etzel. Etzel means next to. What's it next to? It's next to the infiniteness of Hashem. The whole world is next to. Yeah, the normal way, I'm a nation, which means this is in a direct expression of godliness. Pirish, the shtehen hein midas elokus l'mayla mesechel nevrosagos, and the yugar mehochad v'aglam atzilus, v'af asagos, Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom b'nevu asay, that even Moshe, who is considered Rabban kol ha-nevim, he's the master of all the prophets, when it came to his level of prophecy, lo hayezav be'olam atzilus eli al yedei hislavshes be'olam abriya, he didn't get atzilus straight. He got atzilus as it was filtering through bria. That he could still withstand. Va'af gam zois loy b'shtei midos elu chesed gevura el al yedei hislavshes b'midos shlamata mehen b'madreges shehein midos netzach hoyd and yesoid. And even then, not that he got it straight from Chesed of Atzilus as it enclosed itself in Bria, he got it from Chesed of Atzilus as it enclosed itself in the lower spheres of Netzach Hayit and Yesoid, as that's enclosed in Bria. So jump change.
How we understand face to face? Rambam says that Moshe learned visually. He saw.
What he saw, yes. Did he see Atzilus proper? No. He saw Atzilus camouflaged.
In Bria.
Okay. Not that he saw Bria. It
says that he saw words. He saw Hashem at Sinai. So how do you see words?
Okay. He saw this whole business over here. The Afgam says loy b'shtei midas elu chasen gvura al yedei hislavshes b'midas shlamata mehen medreges shehein midas netzachod v'yisayt. And then he had to go not just straight chesed and gevura, but only as chesed and gevura are passed through and filtered through netzachod v'yisayt. K'mo shekosav b'shar nevuah. Rak shematan tzchorin shel tzadikim b'gan Eden, but there's still a lot of godliness left over. Because we say that the reward of the righteous in Gan Eden, who hasagas hispashtus achayas v'ha'or hanimshach m'shtei midas elochas and gevura. What are the righteous doing in the world that come sitting in Gan Eden waiting to be resurrected? It says they're nenem meziva shchina. They're sitting and deriving and basking in the divine presence. What does that mean? That means that their reward is their ability to understand that Torah that they learned in this world. And they appreciate the effect of the mitzvahs that they did in this world. That's what Gan Eden is. That's what it means, schar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. If you translate it, even on a simple level, the reward of being connected to Hashem is that you're connected to Hashem. So what happens now is a person's in Gan Eden, he did all these mitzvahs, so those mitzvahs now envelop the person so that they can withstand a greater level of godliness. The more mitzvahs you do, the more godly revelation you'll be able to withstand because you'll have more protective covers because of those mitzvahs. V'hu mazen neshamas ha-tzadikim she'asuk b'Torah l'shma v'olam hazeh. So it says this is the food of the tzadikim. The mitzvahs are the clothing, they're protecting outside. The mazen, which is the nurture, which is it's sustaining them, not that souls are sitting there and chowing down, but the nurture, which is giving them the vitality to continue, is the Torah that they learned in this world, and he puts a caveat on it, lishma, for the sake of learning Torah. So, because he talked before, way back in the 40s, that a person who's sitting and learning for their own aggrandizement, so that Torah is not going to Gan Eden with them. That's stuck. So yeah, learning lishma. Yeah, hello. Okay, but what a person going to do? Look at me, I'm learning Daf Yomi, so I'll be a big shot. At this point, with all the people who learn Daf Yomi, what makes you think you're going to be a big shot because you learned Daf Yomi? Big deal.
It's tough.
No, okay. You can handle it. Ki hispashes shtei midas elo nimtach rakia al haneshama, because the dispersal of these two attributes of kindness and severity form a rakia. Rakia means, it's translated always as a firmament. Sometimes it's a heaven. The Yiddish word is better. It means a farspreitung. Farspreitung just means something that's spread out.
Uh-huh.
There's this godliness now, which is spread out over the person. On the Shema Shabbat Eden, rakia zed nikra razi deraisin. And what is this curtain made out of? This farspreitung, what is it made out of? It's made out of the secrets of the Torah. Ubay soiv chaf beis oisi is ha-Torah, and as soon as mishtei midas elo. And you're going to find in that realm 22 letters of the Torah, which are the byproduct, the 22 letters are the byproduct of these two godly attributes of kindness and severity. Not to say that 11 come from one and 12 come from the other, but together, both, they create the 22. Kidiksiv miminei eish das lamai. As it says, from my right side, which is the expression of kindness, is eish, fire, which is an expression of severity, das lama, knowledge to know him. Umar kia zeh naitiv tal lamozin haneshamas. And this knowledge then becomes the 22 letters, which we're really not going to get until we get to Gan Eden. Understanding it there at Gan Eden is the sustenance of the soul. Because the more you learn over here, the easier it will be over there. Vahu mazan Hashem as we got Eden of Hamitzis Hena Levushim, that the Torah provides the sustenance for the soul, and the mitzvahs provide the protective covering for the soul, the clothing. The kol zeh b'zohar v'yakal daf reish tes reish yud be'etz chaim sharmim dal perikim. Well, thank you. A footnote at the end. To be continued.